Guys of a Certain Age is brought to you by no one. Absolutely no one. Except these dudes walking down memory lane. Now let's head to the studio to see what they misremember next.
It's the podcast that busted the brackets even before we began. It's Guys of a Certain Age, Robbie Koblenz in studio alongside
Art Shirley
and Jay Reed.
So as we record, this is day number two of March Madness, and that yell of frustration and anger and hurt north of us was from all the University of Kentucky fans.
Ooh. And those of us that had them going to the Final Four.
Some of us had national champions.
Oh, no, you did? I picked Oakland to win the game.
You don't know anything about basketball. So.
Well, no, I don't. But I'm right now in the one group I'm in.
I don't want to hear.
Second place. I have 97.4%.
Wow,
that's amazing.
I only lost.
So you picked against State too, I guess.
Huh? Well, I told a friend of mine today. I said, "No, I picked State to win."
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
SEC let me down. He said, "SEC let everybody down."
Yeah, SEC's let everybody down. South Carolina
for
lost.
Tennessee, I guess, is the only. Well,
yeah, Tennessee have they won. Played yet?
Tennessee played last night.
Okay, yeah. They did.
Mm-hmm. Soundly. Well,
but
I picked South Carolina and State.
I picked South Carolina and State.
I had South Carolina going Kentucky. To the Sweet 16 because I thought they just looked great.
I thought they did too. I had them going pretty deep too. Yeah. Maybe not as deep as Kentucky. Like I said, I thought Kentucky was a contender.
Yeah. So the curiosity, this is not a sports podcast, but we talk college stuff. Will Coach Calipari survive?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about hanging it up. He's already talked about how he's going to rebuild the team for next year. I just don't know that they're going to let him back. So, I will say I was a little joyous to see that result because I sat by a bunch of Kentucky fans when they came to play State, and they were a little cocky and. That was great. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. So, anyway.
Yeah, you had who going all the way?
In that bracket, I had Kentucky going all the way. So
yeah, I have North Carolina going all the way, but that's a sentimental favorite for me.
I pick Duke for the same reason. I pick Duke every year.
Oh, do you? Yeah,
really?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I think it's probably going to be UConn.
I think it's going to be UConn because, Purdue never makes it. So.
I've got Purdue, right up there too, but I think Purdue's in my Final Four.
There's only like 0.0003% of brackets still correct.
Wow.
As of this morning.
Wow.
So there's a few people still eligible for Warren Buffett's billion.
Yeah, nobody's going to get that. So, anyway. All right.
He wouldn't make that bet. If he's going to lose it.
He would not. Yeah. So, all right, let's jump into Geeks of the Week. You, Mr. Traveler Art, you want to go first?
Okay, sure will. I actually have two. I have just a sad note. M. Emmett Walsh passed away, the character actor. He was 88 years old. You may not recognize the name, but you'd certainly recognize the face and his voice. He was in Blade Runner, plays Deckard's boss, the chief of police in that thing. He's in a lot of movies. It's just a whole lot of things. He was in Knives Out most recently. I think there's probably something else he was in just not too long ago. But great character actor, and sorry to see him go. 88 years old.
Distinctive voice, as I recall.
Yeah. And
I can't do it, but
I can. I almost can do it because my voice is gone. But like I said, sorry to see him go. And then the other thing is the announcement that came out yesterday that all of the Skywalker saga. Am I still in yours?
That was going to be my backup.
Okay. All of the Skywalker saga.
20 hours.
20 hours.
20 hours.
A butt numathon, as it would call it.
18 hours.
No, sorry, this is Reed.
4 hours of excellent, 16 hours of crap.
That's right. But it's the 9 movies that comprise the Skywalker saga. So I guess that does not include anything like Rogue One.
It doesn't.
Although,
there'll be an extended. Oh,
so what about it? You said the Skywalker.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We never got to the thing. Robbie and I both know.
Yeah. Why don't you?
Anyway, they're going to have it in the theaters on May 4th.
Oh,
to celebrate the Star Wars Day.
Kind of like the Marvel thing that I did. My geek from years ago when they were going to do Marvel movies from beginning until the end.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And there's going to be an extended preview of The Acolyte, I believe, embedded.
They're also, May 3rd, they're to celebrate the anniversary of The Phantom Menace, they're showing The Phantom Menace in theater, theaters again, and that's going to have the trailer as well.
That's right.
And then the next day they'll show the whole.
It's at participating theaters. I could not find anything close to us.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything around us that is going to be showing it. And I guess they're doing it in episode order as opposed to chronological or release date order.
Yeah, they're doing it in episode one, episode two, episode three.
As Jay would say, one, two, three.
Jay doesn't know how to count backwards for taking photos or video.
He knows how to. He just didn't know when it's appropriate.
He just refused
to. That's right.
So
pressure was on.
So what I would want to know is how many times Jay would have to get up and go to the bathroom during 20 hours.
Now, you talk about brackets. That should be like we should have guys of a certain age. What movie, what time period,
what movie does he last through? Wow. Pick one.
Anyway, all right. Well, cool beans. That was going to be my backup. Yep. So that gets me to a Doctor Who Geek of the Week.
Oh.
Haven't had one in a while. So Stephen Moffat, who was the showrunner during Matt Smith's incarnation of the Doctor, as well as Capaldi, came to fame as a super fan and a writer on Doctor Who when it rebooted back up. He's the one who gave us the Weeping Angels.
Oh, okay.
He wrote the episode Blink. He has written an episode for the upcoming season with Shruti Gatwa.
Mm-hmm.
So he is back with Doctor Who, which is great. Now, I think it's just a wonderful
thing. Now, he left during... When did he leave?
He left when Capaldi left.
Okay.
And so he left when Capaldi left, and then I forget the guy who came in afterwards with, whatchamacallit, with Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I can't want to say Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster. Not right.
So, but anyway, yeah, that's kind of cool. I'll be interesting to see his take on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's given it. I think he was a better writer than a showrunner.
Mm.
So, but he was a pretty good showrunner. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So, and as we were recording this podcast, the trailer for the new Doctor Who season has dropped, and I may, while Jay's doing something, I may watch it.
Okay. When does that
the trailer or the season?
When does the season debut?
May 10.
May 10. Okay. So it's right around the corner.
Did anybody watch Three Body Problem last night?
I haven't watched it yet.
It dropped last night.
Is it good? Have you watched it yet? It's a
series. I've seen parts of it.
It's a series, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's going to be a 8 or 10 episode series.
Yeah. I think we may pick that up.
Yeah.
Also, we finished Masters of the Air.
How was that?
Oh, it's really, really good.
Was it?
Yeah. Really good.
Oh, I'm just looking to see.
And I think Shogun's only got a couple of.
Interesting.
A couple episodes.
Yeah. Need to see Shogun as well. So, all right, cool beans. Well, let's get to Jay's Geek and Jay's...
We're going to circle back to Star Wars.
Okay.
How about that?
How about that? Make the full circle. So I came across a podcast last week that I just found fascinating, wanted to share. It's called The Redemption of Jar Jar Binks. Came out last year, so it's fairly new. And it's from... the host is Dylan Marin, who I don't really know, but... Ted is from the TED Talk group, so it's in that, you know, they sponsored it or got it going. But it starts, it's easy to listen to. It's six episodes. They're all about 30, 35 minutes. And so, you know, a week of a commute or road trip, you can knock it out. But it starts out, and I knew some of this, but not all of it. Y'all may have known some of it, but
we knew
when Jar Jar came out, when the Phantom Menace came out, there was... a lot of hate.
Oh yeah.
And so
there still is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was kind of what this is about the character and Ahmed Best who played character.
Unfortunately, Ahmed Best caught a lot of that too.
He got a lot of and this is what it talks about.
And it changed the trajectory of his career.
Yeah, and thankfully not to be a spoiler, but I mean it has a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
But it's some pretty rough stuff happened, and this was in the beginning of when the internet was coming out and you could, I mean, not when it was coming out, but when people were able to build their own websites and do stuff. And so all of a sudden there's all these Jar Jar hate stuff out there. Uh-huh. And Best went through a lot of stuff, but the story of how he got the role is in there. What he went through when it came out, his interactions with George Lucas.
Yeah.
All the things and things he's done since then. If you go look in his, IMDb profile, despite the backlash of the first episode, he still did Jar Jar. For the next two movies, he still did a lot of voiceovers and stuff for games and stuff. But I think the coolest thing, and I've already forgotten the name, but he came back in The Mandalorian.
He did,
yeah.
And played a Jedi, you know, as himself. Mm-hmm. And so he became, his kind of thing was on the podcast, he says, now I'm canon, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
As himself, and not as an actor, not as the guy wearing the suit, the motion capture. But that was one of the other fascinating things that I learned, was that the character of Jar Jar was one of the very first motion capture characters basically ever done. Like, not Skywalker Ranch, but like Industrial Light Magic.
Yeah.
They're the ones who kind of, I don't know if they pioneered it, but this is one of the first major characters that done with that. So anyway.
And what's the name of the podcast again?
The Redemption of Jar Jar Binks.
That sounds pretty good. I may check that out. Yeah, how many episodes is it?
Six.
Six.
Yep. Like I said, they're all pretty short, good commute.
Is it available everywhere? Is it some type of wherever you get your podcast?
I did not have to subscribe to anything to get it. Like I said, it came from
because that would start the hate all over again.
Yeah, no kidding.
We should do the Redemption of Jay Reed.
Hey,
ooh, Jay doesn't need to be introduced. The Redemption of Art and Rob is what we need.
Yeah, it's under a network, Audio Collective or something, but it didn't require me to do anything.
Why don't we have a network?
I don't know.
We need a network.
How do you get one of them networks?
Yeah, we need to come up with our own faux network.
Yeah.
And then we can each have individual podcasts along with guys of a certain age.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vittles and Vitals might join that.
Uh-huh. What's funny is Carly, one of my employees, was talking about, you know, the company that she would come back and partner with me with in 20 years, since I've done that with a former employee. Uh-huh. And we said we would call it Useful Idiots.
Oh, I like that.
That's the name. That's the name of our collective. The Useful Idiots Network presents.
That has a ring to it.
Guys of a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Regrettable?
I got one.
It's time for
Jay's Regrettable segment. Today brought to you by Sign Off. The nasal decongestant from the 1970s, and I could use some right now. And after this segment, you'll wish Jay would sign off himself.
Back when men were men and sinus medicine was really medicine.
That's right.
No kidding.
Known to take the lining out of your nose.
And everybody else is around.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So this week's regrettable. I'm just waiting for y'all to finish. Yeah. Go ahead. You know.
Okay.
Carry on.
Do we speak any lies? Is sinus medication a lot more watered down now than what it was 30, 40 years ago?
I'm sure. Yeah. There's,
you're the pharmacist.
There's a lot of stuff you could get that you cannot get
anymore. When the folks turned to 80s and to the cocaine in the 80s as a more beneficial nasal.
But people do still ask for those oldies but goodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got any Paragoric? No, not today.
But I know somebody out in the back.
Uh-huh.
It might just happen. Jay shows up with glasses, a hat, and a trench coat, and he opens the trench coat. Which one would you want? You know, so. Okay.
Yeah, that is not at all how it works, but okay.
Jay's regrettable segment.
Okay, today's regrettable or not regrettable superhero is the Invisible Scarlet O'Neill.
Anyone what? I've heard of her before, yes.
She was from
but I have heard of her. Laughed. Uh-oh.
Okay, calm down. June of 1940, Russell Stamm, who worked with Dick Tracy.
Okay.
In that cartoon. Not worked with him.
Not the actual guy.
No, yeah. But worked on that. The interesting thing about this we haven't seen before in this segment is that she began...
Well, she's invisible. We wouldn't have seen her before.
She debuted in the Chicago Times as a comic strip in the newspaper, and then became in the comics, Harvey Comics, later.
Harvey Comics. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
Little Lotta.
Huh?
Sorry, go ahead.
They made the mention that if she had not, I don't know how you define somebody as the comic superhero, if they're in the newspaper or a book, but she might have predated Fantoma, who's considered the first one, if she had been in comics,
books first.
So she's very, very early. The one thing, obviously, invisibility was her superpower.
Uh-huh.
She gained that. Her father was an inventor, and she, as a girl, accidentally stuck her finger in a ray beam. You know, those ray beams, you got to watch those ray beams. And in her case, the ray beam gave her the power of invisibility. All she did was, like, press this little point on her wrist.
Ah, okay.
So at will. So in and out invisibility, that's pretty much her power. But the sort of the taglines were action without blood and thunder, those kinds of things. Adventure, exciting but human. Fantasy, but with a humorous twist.
Oh, okay.
So it was basically she used her wits, her skill, even her kindness to solve problems. Now, there were some bad guys she had to deal with, but it wasn't with guns and bullets and I guess those go with
or,
guns.
Or punching people, punching I guess. People.
That's
yeah.
the word I was looking uh-huh. for. Yeah. So anyway, I don't think. She lasted about 10 years, and wow. then they took the invisible off. She was just Scarlett O'Neill. She was just invisible from time to time. And then I didn't understand this, but they changed the name of her comic to Stainless Steel, and then it was canceled shortly after that. So I don't know where the Stainless Steel does it. It kind of rhymes with Scarlett O'Neill, but. That's all I could get out of that.
Scarlett O'Neill, the Stainless Steel.
So I don't know if this would be a good revisit or not, because invisible women are already out there.
And, or a dime a dozen.
That's what I thought he was going to say. And I was gonna...
Well, I couldn't think of a dozen. I know yeah. there's a couple. But.
Was she able to turn invisible and her clothes stay at the same time? Because that's always a thing that's bugged me about like the Invisible Man movies and stuff, is that...
Well... That was something.
I got to run around naked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Mrs. Reed.
But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that. I didn't. Okay. That would be.
I would think in the comics, because the invisible girl, invisible woman, you know, she's able to turn her suit invisible. So.
Yeah, and here's a quote. Now, there's a quote from one of her adventures or not, but it says, "I'd better remove my clothes so I can swing freely in the ring." That's in quotes. So that's the only question, only answer yeah. I have to your question.
Okay.
Is it perhaps.
And that question itself, or that answer is regrettable. My question is regrettable. The answer is regrettable. What about the superhero? Do we think she's regrettable?
I don't think so.
I don't think she's regrettable. I don't think it necessarily would make a good streaming series on Disney Plus today.
No, but I don't think, no. I think of her time, I don't think she's regrettable.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, she's not regrettable.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
There we go.
It's unanimous.
What? What was that?
Unanimous.
Unanimous.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break. Jay may need more than a break after that one.
He's
so
been doing too much sign off.
He's been doing too much sign off. Or selling it. That's what it is. So we're going to talk toys we wish we still had up next. And we're back. And I saw a really cool list on one of the websites I hit about the 10 or 12 childhood toys you wish you had back. And the first thing was the Han Solo Blaster, which came out when we were younger, back when they made toys out of heavier duty plastic.
Yeah.
Got me thinking, what are some of the toys that we wish we still had? Now, Jay still has all his toys.
That's what I was going to say, when I looked at that list, number one, a lot of it, the blaster I could tell was from our era, but a lot of the rest of it, a couple things were from Jacob's time, Lauren's time, and so I didn't really identify with that specific list, and also I still have them.
Yeah, and I had a lot of my stuff up until recently until we moved and got rid of some stuff, but there are things that just over childhood, you know, and moving a couple of times during childhood, I've lost, so those are the kind of things I'll mention.
There you go. Mm-hmm. First on my list.
But I will say, speaking of Han Solo's blaster, there's a movie replica of it on eBay right now for like $3,000.
Yeah, really?
$2,500 to $3,000.
Is that an actual gun that's been modified?
I think it's not a true movie prop as far as I can tell. But it's one that took the Mauser and they've added all the props to it, all the correct stuff to it. So they've recreated the movie prop and it looks really, really good.
Yeah. I know we got the boys a Stormtrooper blaster when they were kids.
Yeah, same here.
And Mark still has that thing and I'm going to steal it from him. He doesn't know it. But that thing has held up like...
Yeah, those are pretty well made.
Nobody's business. They're just great toys.
Now, was his white or was it black?
He's got the black one.
Yeah, okay. So. I think ours were the Snowtroopers.
Yeah.
But still, really well made.
So Star Wars was a big part of my childhood, but prior to Star Wars was G.I. Joe. And we're talking about the Barbie size figures, the 10-inch figures, not the
12-inch, yeah.
12-inch, 10-inch. Some of them, they shrunk with age, you know, like we all do.
Actually, there were some that came out that were like an 8-inch thing before they went to the 3 3/4. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Super Joe is what that was called.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Well, and I had the 2-part kind of tank experimental science vehicle. Yes. We've talked about this before, Art. And that was so much fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
That to me is the best vehicle that was ever made for any type of action figure.
So it had the little kind of radar thing on the back, mm-hmm. you know, and the doors opened, and you had all the scientific stuff, and
you had maps and stuff. And
it was great. Uh-huh. Big wheels, and keep on turning. And Proud Joe keeps on churning, you know, rolling. I can't stop myself. So it 2 pieces, right? So the front had was where you could put your action figures, and you had a little windshield which detached.
Yeah, it was like a little fishbowl upside down.
In
terms of getting in, there was no practical. I mean, you know, if you were thinking, how does Joe get in this?
Oh, he
had to remove this, you know, dome windshield to get in. So,
that's probably the thing I miss the most. Now, you have a personal story about said vehicle.
Yeah, so because I had it forever. We moved a little over 3 years ago now, and just decided, okay, it's time to get rid of a lot of stuff. So I packed up a lot of things, including a lot of action figure vehicles, both mine and my son's. And one of the things I decided to get rid of was that.
Why didn't you call me?
I should have. I don't know why I didn't call either one of y'all. That was stupid of me not to say, because I tell you, it's just like this fever came over us and we just started throwing stuff
away. You could have gotten rid of it out of your house, but you still could have got it back.
I would have given you money for it.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Now I've seen on these Facebook sites that they don't have to be mint condition. You get all kinds of money for it.
It's the G.I. Joe experimental mobile unit.
Yeah. So I felt so bad about it. I went back and got and went to the dumpster, and I could still get the back part of it. That was the only part of it. So I grabbed that and hung onto that. And then
did you get in the dumpster and look around?
I actually could, you know how they have the side door.
Right.
And so I could reach in and get it from there. And I wasn't going to go into the dumpster for it. Yeah. I thought, okay, well but it was right there. So I got it. And so I kept that for a while. I mean, I've still got it. And it didn't have the front part, the part that Robbie was saying had the, you know, the action figures went in. And I found one on eBay for like $40, and just the front part.
Just the front.
Yeah. Huh. So I bought it, and it works, and, you know, I've got that. So what I keep thinking that I want to do is I may take it, because it's a bright yellow or orange, if I remember correctly. And I'm thinking I may want to paint it and modify it. You know, and make it something that's a little bit more
Jack Quasar-ish.
So it's like more of a lunar type vehicle. Uh-huh. Yeah, or a, you know, whatever planet you'd be on. So anyway, I agree with you. The one that I keep coming back to, and there's a bunch of toys that I have. I had a Batman plastic cowl thing. We've talked about that. I found that on eBay and bought that because I'd lost it. But there were another group of 12-inch action figures that were. Mark's Toys Best of the West, and they included Johnny West, and you had a Geronimo and a Chief Cherokee, and you had...
We have a bunch of those.
Do you really?
Yeah, we have Geronimo, Johnny West. Was Custer part of that?
Yeah, Custer had Custer.
We've got
there's
those
also
three.
A Captain Maddox, who was a cavalry officer, whose head is based on Robert Conrad's from Jim West. They were going to make a Wild Wild West character.
Wrights
fell through or whatever. But they kept his head and put him on a cavalry officer. That was my favorite one of all of them. But the accessories that came with it, you got it in this box. It was kind of like a cigar box type deal. And the figure was in there. And they had all these either kind of soft plastic for chaps and vests and hats. And then that hard plastic for rifles and pistols and stuff. But everything was so detailed and so accurate. It was just very cool. And, you know, like gun belts buckled on correctly, and I had a bunch of horses.
We had a couple of horses.
And their saddles and all their tack was just extremely accurate. You know?
I have no recollection whatsoever.
Yeah, you need to look it up, Mark's Best of the West sometimes. And it was like Johnny West himself looked like Kennedy, looked like he was modeled after John Kennedy. And And then there was another one that I swear looked like Dean Martin. Kind of strange. But there was a bad guy, Sam Cobra. Did you have Sam Cobra?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Dressed in black.
Yeah, dressed in black. Now, his body, and also, they didn't have clothes like G.I. Joe's. Their bodies were molded.
It was molded,
clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But you could, I think there was maybe a vest or something.
Yeah, you had,
then, like you said, like the chaps.
You had a vest that you put on Johnny West. You'd have a hat. You'd have a kerchief. You'd have chaps, a gun belt. Spurs, I think you put on Johnny West. And then he had all this stuff. Like he had like cooking stuff. You had a coffee pot and a skillet and some like a gold bag kind of thing.
I'm headed to my mom's house after this. Yeah. I'll check and see
what
we got.
But Sam Cobra, the bad guy, like I said, his suit, his body was supposed to be what Jim West was. And if you look, it looks like what it looked like on the Wild Wild West. And he had like hidden daggers in his sleeves.
Oh, wow.
And little derringers and stuff. All this kind of, just really, really, really detailed and well thought out. Very good. They also had, and I had a couple of these, they had knights, you know, like they had a gold knight and a silver knight, and later had a black knight and a Viking. Now, I didn't have those guys, but I did have both the silver and the gold knight. One of the knights, I think it was the Silver Knight, had the same head as Sam Cobra. They were identical heads. Yeah. But I mean, the detail in those things, they had all types of helmets and full suits of armor that you could put on these guys, and they're articulated. Now, the one thing I did like about Johnny West that, and that those figures is their hands were moldable plastic, and they had like a trigger finger out there like there. So they were the Kung Fu grip before the Kung Fu grip. So you could actually put a pistol in their hands and thread the index finger through the trigger guard, and it was ready to go, and it worked great. And once the Kung Fu grip came out on G.I. Joe, I thought, okay, well, they finally got this. They should have been doing that from the beginning. Anyway.
Well, see, that's one of the things like I wish we still had it, because we do have it. Now, some of those little accessories have been lost.
That's what I've lost everything of.
Yeah.
And there's a company, I wish I had followed them on Facebook. There's a company that makes all those again and has the accessories. Now, they can't do them in the original colors. That's the only thing. Mm. But they have the molds, and they can do them, and they do them in just kind of some bizarre colors. But you could paint all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, Rusty has a lot of that, and I wish we should have called him, because he's the expert on that as far as our family. He's, I think I've mentioned before, he's really into Lone Ranger stuff. And so some of it I think is still here, and he maybe has some of that at his house, but he went through and organized. And so there's a tub somewhere just full of all that. Now, my mom told me yesterday, I told her yesterday we were going to talk about this, because we have to get approval before we on our topics. So she was remembering that Rusty actually,
I need to recut that birthday thing for your mother.
So she was remembering that he had taken a magic marker and redecorated one of the figures, but we couldn't remember exactly which one it was. But yeah, we still have a lot of that.
Yeah.
That was probably what we played with the most, you know, for a season. And then Adventure People came along. We still got, those are much smaller. I had a bunch of the Star Trek stuff, and I've got an Enterprise with a Beamer. A Beamer?
Now they
transporter.
Transporter.
The Beamer. I thought he meant like he had a BMW.
The Barbie Beamer.
Kurt's BMW. Come on, Kurt. You know, I mean.
And they were also, I mean, they had like Johnny West had a family. It was Jane West. He was married to, and there was little kids and stuff. My sisters, I think, had Jane West before they had Barbie, and so we've got her. But the thing is, the plastic. Like early on, especially some of the early models had a more brittle plastic, and they didn't survive. So a lot of, if I open a box now, I've got pieces of Johnny West.
You could hurt somebody with those. They were heavy.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't the hollow plastic like some of the other ones were.
Yeah, it was a solid piece of plastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was not like a...
You need to look it up and check it out.
I need to check it out. Mm-hmm. So, Jay, what was your thing? Well, you've got everything, so...
Well, I think just my thought was more in general, we played with our stuff, and so things got broken and things got lost, but we didn't play hard. We weren't especially rough with it, and my mom... You
weren't Sid from Toy Story.
No. We weren't, like, building things from the different parts, but, I wish... I mean, I don't regret playing with, like, the first line of Star Wars figurines.
Yeah.
But, you know, the lightsaber that used to come out of Luke's arm or whatever, you know, I'd like to have that intact and things like that. I wish I'd had the forethought to have you know, one to keep and one to play with. But nobody's going to think about that when you're
think about that. I mean, you look back at the catalogs and you see, oh, these are only $3. Why didn't I have six of these? Well, of course, $3 is very different then.
Yeah, it's like $20 now.
Plus, nobody knew there was this collectibles market, you know, that was going to be.
That Jay invented.
Yeah, that's right.
Wish.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I would swap out heads on the Johnny West. Like I would take the Robert Conrad head, put him on the body, and he would be James West for a while.
Okay. We didn't do that, but
no. Did either of you guys do Micronauts at all?
Micronauts came out just probably a little too late for me.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. I think I had one just because.
This is what I had. I'm showing it's the Exploration model, which looks like a cross between a ship, a space shuttle, and a Transformer robot. So really enjoyed that. Wish I had it back. Of course, the Star Wars stuff, and I've got a lot of my Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have as many things probably as Jay does, but I've got probably 95% of my Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
But the Micronauts would have been great.
And that stuff was well made.
It was.
A lot of it was metal, it seems like.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a series I think we've talked about in passing that would be great for a reboot. Yeah. And, in fact, I think maybe in April they're going to publish the omnibus of the Micronauts.
I've seen that. Yeah,
run.
That's right. Yeah, because that was a great comic book, too. It was a fun comic book, anyway.
It was a lot of fun.
Major Matt Mason, another one of those that, you know, kind of you keep thinking there's going to be a reboot or a movie that ties in and kind of gets it kicked off again. But those toys were great. And the smaller action figure size, which I think Major Matt Mason was 6 inches, and then, of course, we got down to like the 3 3/4 inch, 4 inch size that G.I. Joe became, allowed you to have bigger and better vehicles, you know, like you, I mean, of course the Holy Grail that I don't know that any of us had or knew anybody that had was the aircraft carrier for the G.I. Joe thing. Remember that for the,
oh yeah, I remember that vaguely for me, that toy that I always wanted was the Millennium Falcon.
Well, you got that though, right?
I've got it now. Yeah. I bought it as an adult.
You didn't have it as a kid.
No.
That was because the thing is, with that scale, you could have something like the Millennium Falcon that's not some compromise. I mean, it's pretty much the Millennium Falcon.
It has warp drive and everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
Made the Castle Run and Kessel Run. And how many parsecs? 9.2?
Castle Run. The White Castle Run.
The White Castle. Oh, yeah.
Chewy. Before eating them or after.
Yeah. The AT-AT was the other thing that I really loved.
Oh, yeah.
Well, from Empire.
Yeah. See, that was, like I said, that way you, and the action figures were still a playable size.
They were.
And they were articulated well enough. They actually put together well enough where they would last. But the Major Matt Mason, they were plastic bodies, I mean, rubber bodies with a wire inside. And
I remember those. Yeah.
And so,
I had Evel Knievel like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, a couple of months of playing with that, and, you know, you've broken something. So.
Wow. Okay. that could apply.
So, one of the things on the list.
I'm going back to the list.
Usually I'm aware of that. That time I stepped right into it.
Jay, what were you saying?
One of the things I saw on the list was the Beyblade. Did your boys play with the Beyblades?
No, I remember the Beyblades, but.
I think Jacob had some. And then the other thing was the Lego Bionicle, which
I remember.
I remember those too. Yeah,
Jacob had those, and I guess if you think about what I'd like to have back, Jacob had tons. Has
all the Jacob stuff?
Huh?
Do you have Jacob? Do you have Jacob stuff?
We have a lot of Jacob. Not everything. Yeah. We were a little bit more selective with his stuff, but he has a enormous container full of loose Legos.
Yeah,
and in that enormous container are a lot of really nice sets that are no longer sets.
Yeah.
So that if I regret anything or like to have back, I wish I'd have thought you need to put this in a Ziploc, keep it together so you can rebuild it. But
Art, I'm surprised on the list you didn't say anything about Thunderbird's Tracy Island that they had on the list on the that.
Yeah, I didn't play with Thunderbirds at all, though.
You didn't play with Thunderbirds? I'm showing them. That looks like a really cool.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
So,
yeah, what's funny, I follow a couple of different vintage toy groups on Facebook, and they'll show something, and they'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that. I mean, a lot of, like, the old guns and stuff were so authentic and so real-looking. But then you'll see a toy that, like, Captain Action was a toy. Do y'all remember? Or Action?
Yeah.
excuse me. He was a G.I. Joe sized toy And his big deal was he had all these costumes that he, you know, would change into. So you could get a Batman costume for him, and you can get a Superman costume and an Aquaman thing. Usually had a little fake face, like in case Batman's case, he had a cowl that he put on. Okay. And it was just very cool. And, you know, for some reason that passed me by completely, and it seems like something I would have liked.
I don't remember that one.
Well, Jay's going to go out and buy it now.
That's right.
So, all right. So we've visited our childhood.
Yeah.
What would you pay? Well, what did you, I mean, what did you pay to get your G.I. Joe?
I paid 40, 50 bucks or whatever you that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, no, I didn't think it was bad because I've seen them go for like 200 bucks. Sometimes if you can get them in the box, they're, you know, thousands of dollars. So you don't want to do that. But I paid $200 for that Batman cowl and thought nothing of it. Until after I did it, then I went, what have I done?
Yeah. You know, I would probably pay 50 bucks for that G.I. Joe piece.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Jay, what would you pay?
You should look on eBay because you can find some of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, you don't necessarily have to have it in pristine condition. Yeah. I didn't feel like I had to, but yeah. You know.
Jay, what would you want to buy back if you had one magical wish of something that you don't have? What would you go for?
To buy back.
I mean, to purchase now as an adult that you wish you had that you don't have. Is there anything that falls in that category?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. All right.
I mean, the things that I Sign would off? Like to buy now would be things that like complete my collections that I began as,
gotcha.
As an adult. You know, the Jerry Rice stuff, those kinds of things that are slightly incomplete.
I kind of wish I had my original color thing. Computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, my Coco, TRS-80 Coco. Wish I had an Apple One.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
See,
nice.
Now we even still have, I forget who made it, but I don't think it was Coleco, but the little handheld football games and soccer games.
That'd be fun to have.
We've still got a couple of those around.
I think we need to go break into Mrs. Reed's house. And
I know, am I setting her up for security issues here by telling her?
We just don't need to give her an address. And probably
just from Toy Nerds.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, thanks for joining us down memory lane. We'll see you sometime next week.